Just to clarify, these views that we speak of on our podcast are 100% our own and not those associated to anyone from Luton Town Football Club. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Owen the Town. Another visit to the capital and a late, late show from Luton Town sees us bring back a point as Woodrow heads and sends the away end into rapture and thankfully silences those bloody Crystal Palace drummers because they got on my nerves, I can tell you that. We'll talk about that game in more detail. We'll look at the upcoming match against Bournemouth, which for me, and I'm sure the rest of the team will agree, becomes a very, very critical game. Obviously, Tom Lock is going back to Bournemouth as well, so that will be interesting. We've got your three-word reviews and much, much more. With me tonight, we've got Steve and Darren's back. Nice to see you, Darren. Thanks for coming up.
Thanks for having me.
And Steve, as usual, can't get rid of you, can we?
No, I'm afraid not.
Did you watch the games at the weekend? I was lucky enough to get a ticket and go. You've got to be delighted with that result, haven't we?
I think so. I think before the game, we were hoping, you know, it was one of the games that maybe a month or so ago we'd have identified as something that we could particularly, you know, go for and get 3 points. However, with all the players out, anything out of that game was great. And yeah, because we were down to the bare bones and God hopes the physio team get it sorted because we need all those people back.
Yeah, and they were still on a sort of a new manager bounce, weren't they?
Mm.
Second game at home for them. With the new manager, so it's not often that we don't play so well and get something from it. So.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, long overdue that one.
Long overdue is the word. I mean, going to Palace actually, it reminded me when we went there in the Championship and no one expected us to do anything.
Mm.
Atmosphere there, I have to say, was great. But I just mentioned the drummers.
Mm.
If we ever bring drummers into Kenilworth Road, I think I'll stop going.
It's just fake. If you can't create a natural, not hostile, but, you know, a good atmosphere, then, you know, what's the point? But, you know, because everyone said it's a great atmosphere there. Do they really need to do the drums?
Well, judging by the sounds when the drummers weren't drumming, yes, they do. But, you know, when they was on the forefront, and they was on the front foot, sorry, the noise was quite loud, you know, but the drumming was just constant the whole game.
Mm.
I genuinely don't know. And we've been to games there before, and we, like Wickham and places like that, where... Mm. They don't stop pounding. I know I'm going on a bit, but they stop pounding that bloody drum.
Mm.
I don't know if I could watch that like that every week.
No.
I just think I'd get really fed up with it. Really fed up with it. Let's have a look at your three-word reviews. Sorry. Well, let's have a look at your three-word reviews from Crystal Palace 1, Luton Town 1. John said, magnificently, gorgeously undeserved. Seb, smash and grab. Gary, poor overall performance. Ryan, dug in deep. Darren, is this you? Nicked a point?
It is me.
Nicked a point. Nice one. Chris, really, really lucky. I think Woodrow, for Andy, Woodrow deserves respect. J-Mo, potentially huge points. And Francis, never gave up. Does anything take your fancy, lads?
Really, really lucky. Maybe, but aren't we deserving of it? You know, because we've been really, really unlucky on a number of occasions.
Do you not create your own luck sometimes?
you do. And also, I would just immediately point to the never giving up attitude yet again from such a strong group of people.
Yeah.
You know, that is what I really sort of think. I mean, I love John's magnificently, gorgeously undeserved. You know, isn't it great to get something, you know, right at the end like that? You can't beat it when you turn it around right at the death like that.
Darren, do you have one thing you want to pick up?
As J-Mo says, potentially huge point.
Yeah.
Huge.
It's massive. We were stuck on the 20 points for quite a while now, haven't we?
Yeah.
And just to get over that, start hopefully ticking a few more points off, you know, it is massive. And, okay, it's a game in hand, you'd rather have the points, but it puts us within those 3 points of Forest, doesn't it?
Well, this is it. Because obviously Forest went on to lose on the Sunday, so that now means one game, you know, and we've obviously got them coming up, you know, and I'm sure they are going to get some points taken off. I'm sure of it. So, you know, we'll talk about Forest on another one, but if we can...
Well, it's so important given, you know, the midweek game and then into them. And if you get just anything out of the Bournemouth game, which, you know, 1 point will be enough, that'll be great. Then you beat Forest and then they get 6 points deducted. There's an 8 point gap.
I know.
And that could be huge.
Yeah.
Could be super huge.
And I'll take that irony every day if we stay up because of teams having a points deduction.
I don't care.
No,
I'll
take it.
I've said this before. I've said it on other podcasts I've been invited on to. I'm having a blast watching Luton in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And, for all the people that say I don't like it, it's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
There's a lot that really infuriates us and gets on our nerves, that, you know, the Premier League free kicks and, you know... So many things. However, I would still choose that.
You want to be part of it, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, part of the drama.
Let's talk about Palace 1, Luton 1. Two changes from the Villa game, Osho and Ogbeni on for Bell and Townsend. Obviously, injury prone everywhere. We're devastated by injuries.
Yeah.
But I still went there full of hope. And it was a game where I felt that if we played to our strengths, Darren, we would probably get something from it.
Yeah, absolutely. A bit like when we played them at home. You know, we sort of felt with that game, we're going to get something here, you know. Yeah. And slightly better day, wasn't it? It was quite a nice day. I think the sun was out a little bit and it had that sort of feel-good feeling about it. With Luton, I'm always the half glass empty guy. But actually, I felt quite good on Saturday. I thought, oh, we're gonna get something here.
Mm.
Did you feel the same?
I did, but I couldn't go, so I was watching the Sky Sports Saturday, and every time it went to Merson, it was Palace are on top, Palace are doing well, it's all Palace, and, you know, I don't think it was quite that way, you know, having seen the extended highlights, you know, we did have opportunities, passages of play and stuff like that, but again, if we'd have had all of our players out there and fit,
I think it would
I reckon
totally
we'd
different.
Have had it totally different.
Totally agree with you. I mean, we started really quite strongly, had a couple of quick opportunities. Morris had a chance?
Yep.
And there was a couple of good crosses from Doughty. And I'm thinking, we're on top already.
Yeah.
Can we keep this up? Did you get the same sort of view from when you was watching?
I'd say watching it on telly, it was a bit more 50-50.
Mm.
But equally, we didn't let him in. Up until the first goal. It was a relatively even start up until the goal.
Yeah, I could say, I mean, I don't think either of the keepers had loads and loads to do. You know, was it over the game Palace had, was it 20 shots?
21 shots, 8 on target, and I can only remember maybe 2 great saves. From
yeah, two great saves, but the rest of them,
standard.
You know, yeah, real regulation
or across
stuff.
The bar, or, you know, they did hit the bar. They had their opportunities to score. They didn't take them, which we're thankful for.
Mm.
Look, let's not dwell too long on this, but, you know, after a really good start, you get sucker punched by a defensive error, Darren.
Yeah, and... from a player that you don't expect it as well. He's had such a great season. And it was just out of nowhere, wasn't it? I think sometimes... Look, we're trying to play a certain way, aren't we? And we want to do the right things. Yeah, and you just have to accept sometimes they're going to get it wrong. I don't know whether he was trying to get it back to Kaminski or whether he was rolling it back to Osho. I really don't know who he was trying to pass it back to.
My guess is that he was trying to play it to Osho, but it's over here. Osho probably wasn't sort of alert to it, but, you know, we spoke about Kabore in the previous one where he was really tired, fatigued and got done at the far post. So, you know, we're not going to level that one at Doughty. It was just one of those passes. You know, I reckon he's got more than enough credit in the bank for the way he's performed this season. But it's just another of those stupid mistakes that's eventually gone on to cause us to concede.
So do you think, you know, playing a very basic level of Sunday league football, play the way you're facing? I know we're trying to play a certain way, we're trying to be confident on the ball, but he comes and headers that back up the line. Basic football, it doesn't happen, does it?
If we go back to
Bell against Man United, just out. get it out. Mm. And these goals don't happen. Are we trying to be too clever? You know, I agree with trying to play a certain way, but sometimes do you just have to lump it or do the basics?
I think that's one of those things that, you know, after the event, is you know, it's easy to be critical. What was sort of one way or the other? I don't think on either of those occasions they took an unwarranted risk. It was just a pass that they got wrong. You know, it wasn't an absolute what the hell have you done that for? You know, same as Amari Bell's. He just mishit the ball. That is the only reason that happened. And I think that was the same with Doughty. So I don't think that they were taking risks that they didn't need to.
We say time and time again, you know, if we're going to get beat, let's get beat by a fantastic goal. Now, the finish was great.
Yep.
Go with the backheel finish, you know. But I sort of agree with you, Darren. I'm thinking, why is he playing it back towards the goal? If he's not aiming for his goalkeeper, why isn't he putting it to the right of him? Because that's a safer area to be, even if you've got someone around you. He sold Osho, really, a little bit.
I'm presuming that he was passing it to Osho, but it wasn't anywhere near him, but it also wasn't anywhere near a back pass to the keeper. So, I don't know what the pass was.
As soon as that pass went in on the day, I had my head in my hands because you knew what was going to happen. You knew he was going to get punished for it. He still had a lot of work to do to get the ball across.
I was going to say, because Kaminski done well, he really sort of forced him out wide, didn't he?
I think Kaminski did great. I thought Osho took up a really good position. Again, we don't want to call players out, but I think, again, you make a mistake, you bust the gut to make up. If you watch it back, Doughty is a little slow in making up the numbers to get back as well. Mm. But, you know, Mengi had his guy kind of covered, went to get his foot across. I think they all kind of did what they as much as they could,
yeah.
But it was a great finish, a
cheeky backheel, and then your back's against the wall. You're away again. You're 1-0 down, and yet again we give someone the lead, and it's getting a bit frustrating, isn't it? That we don't sort of go up, get 1-0 up, 2-0 up first.
It's given us unnecessary extra work to do. You know, again with an already depleted side in that, but. I don't know what you can do to stop these one-off mistakes. I don't know what you can do.
Well, are they one-off, though, Steve?
Well, I was going to say, is it...
Well, they're by different individuals, so on that basis, yeah. I would say that they're one-offs.
Different individuals, but I can't remember how much later it was, but Clark's back pass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... I turned away from the screen. And even on telly, you know, it almost looked like it went in.
Mm.
And I was turning, I can't watch this anymore.
But that's unlike Clark. I mean, I don't know if he just didn't... He couldn't have seen the guy, or else he wouldn't have done it. But you know,
it was an outside of the foot. Going to say,
put it on a plate for him, didn't he?
And generally, if that was our attacker getting that ball and missing that golden opportunity, you'd be absolutely mental.
Yeah.
Who was the? Was it Mateta again?
Yes, I think it was.
And he went round the keeper and then didn't put it in.
Yeah. Yep.
And for me, that was the biggest let off we've had all day.
Yeah.
Up till that point. I think we're still strong. I think Palace had a lot of possession. I mean, overall, it was 50-50 possession over the whole game. And I don't think we did as bad as some Palace supporters thought we were.
I think what I found over the last few games is teams are starting to allow us to have more possession. Mm. Now, whether they've had a look at our previous games, because it was after the Man United-Brentford games that were poor, we sort of changed this style, didn't we? And started becoming a bit more attacking or counter-attacking. And actually, when you look at our stats, we're a better counter-attacking team. We're not so great when we have majority of possession. Teams are now starting to allow us to have possession.
Do you think they're allowing us, or do you think we're sort of just controlling the possession of the ball better?
If we go back to Aston Villa last week in the first half, I'd imagine our possession was really high because they just sat off us and then hit us on the break. They allowed us to have the ball, where sometimes we just can't quite create. We can't make things out of it. And I think teams are seeing that and just allowing us to have the ball a little bit more. I'm not too bothered about possession stats, really. It doesn't mean too much, but...
Would you rather have little less possession and more opportunities? But if when you're in possession, you're denying them opportunities.
True, but at this level, we saw with Aston Villa, just like that, they don't need much opportunity.
Yeah.
The quick free kick. They're that razor sharp and that quick, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. I'll take the sort of less of the ball, but creating more opportunities it's the opportunities that are going to turn into goals.
Yeah.
So the game went on, and you know, more and more we're still in the match. They've not scored that extra goal, and we're hoping that the second half we can find something from somewhere. At the break, were you expecting changes to come sort of fairly soon, or do you feel?
No, I wasn't expecting any sort of urgent sort of changes at half time. No, I wasn't.
After the break, though, we had a problem because sometimes, you know, was it Edwards lost Osho apparently, and then Mengi got injured at one point, didn't he? And you're thinking to yourself, what's going on? Yeah. What is going on? Mm. How many more of our players are going to go over, and you know, how much more are we going to have to change?
So they must be fed up of seeing people going down injured. You know, when's it going to come to an end? I mean, there was a stat sort of up on Twitter today, 11 players out on the injury table.
When you look at it, though, and you're thinking, we have got no central defenders now.
No.
What are we going to do?
We got Burke. Hashi can play in there.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I think when I was reading the notes earlier, it's like differences. I mean, Pelly might have to drop in.
Well, going to say, but Dave, someone said that on Twitter, and I thought, yeah, but you know, that is how he started
his career.
Started his career as a centre back. So
he did it for Jones, Nathan Jones.
Mm-hmm. You know,
a couple of times
he would have the attributes. You know, there's no doubt in his strength. So therefore, I would say that his aerial ability would be okay, you know. So,
but
he's got that mindset. He will know positionally where to be. So, if it comes to that, bearing in mind everything, you know, all the players that are out, I would have no problem with him going in there because who else is going
to
do it?
Yeah. But in regards to the game, the Palace game, I think it even galvanised us. I think it's sort of. I can't remember the timing when Osho went off, but there was around the hour mark, and I remember we had about a 15-minute section there where we were so on top, and I think it was when Osho and then Mengi went off, and it just galvanises us, and we keep going. We won't be beaten. We will keep going, and I think Edward said it's square pegs and round holes, and they were still going and going and going.
Talking about Mengi going off, there was an incident. And, you know, look, the referee is refereeing his very first Premier League game. The first thing I found quite odd about him, when they scored, instead of pointing back at the centre circle, he pointed at the goal for some reason. But, you know, that's kind of weird, isn't it? But there was one free kick that absolutely... There was a few, actually. And one post-match I've watched back and gone, I was probably over-harsh.
Mm.
And that was the Kabore challenge on the... right at our box.
Right.
And yep. I didn't think it was a foul on the day, but it really was.
Mm.
But the Mengi challenge.
In front of the Luton fans.
In front of the Luton fans, Alano. Never in a million years was that a foul. And I've got a question. You know, if the referee's going to get something as basic as that wrong.
Did the linesman give it or the ref? Because the linesman was...
Right on top of it.
Yeah, right on top of it.
He won, straight away, I was like, he won the ball.
Yeah, because Dave pointed out when we was looking, before we sort of come on air, Mengi was ahead of the guy, you know, because I think initially it looked like he's gone through the guy to get to the ball, but he wasn't. As we saw, he was ahead of him, and it was a perfectly clean tackle.
Yeah.
I felt, as usual, and of course I'm a partisan supporter, so I'm going to say this, as usual, the home team got more of his decisions than we did. Is that fair to say?
I'm going to say, I was trying to watch it sort of on a stream which kept breaking down, so I can't really comment on that.
I don't know. I think no. If I'll be totally honest, maybe a little bit, but not significantly. I thought the ref apparently he was signing autographs at half time, so I think he took his moment, didn't he? He took his moment, but I don't think there was any big things in the game where I'm like, you know, he's one way or the other.
Yeah, he's had a stinker there. Yeah,
so maybe it was my beer goggles that were helping me there.
It could have been, yeah. The frequently worn beer goggles. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Listen, Crystal Palace had a couple of more chances, and then we had a glorious chance from Morris. His volley from Doughty Cross, was it a Doughty Cross?
Yeah, it was a Doughty Cross. Yeah.
Any other day of the week that goes in.
And anywhere else and it goes in. Mm. It was straight down Johnson's throat.
I think it was just one of those ones he wanted to get a good connection on it. And it just so happened that, it was right to him.
When you miss a glorious chance like that and then the ball goes up the other end, normally we get a sucker punch, don't we? Excuse me. I want to talk about the brilliant save from Kaminski.
Yeah.
Darren, you said earlier that you thought there might have been offside there, but our goalkeeper didn't know that.
No, and none of the players. It wasn't one where any of the defenders put their arm
well,
up.
It was about three phases before the shot, wasn't it?
Yeah. It absolutely... If it goes in, VAR are going to have a look, and I think it's within the time restraints that it probably would. But I think it was his knee that might have been off or something like that. But nobody knew it until we got a replay. You got that inkling. It's a bit like the Watkins free kick again. When you're kind of there, you go, oh, hang on. So on telly, it was kind of like he looked a little bit offside, but the flag hasn't gone on. Let's see. But none of them knew. But once again, Kaminski.
Yeah.
Unbelievable save.
He is some shot stopper. He really is. He's so grown into this season.
Yeah.
You know, because I think like a lot of the players at the start, they were, do we belong? Are we really sort of justified? But it was quite a new whole defensive unit to start with at the start of the season. So I think that they've really grown into it. Kaminski's been brilliant.
Yeah.
If it wasn't Crystal Palace, it's going to sound very disrespectful if you're Crystal Palace fans, and I don't mean it in this way. If it wasn't Crystal Palace and you have in your Haalands or your top strikers from the other clubs, they score more goals at that game. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, but that's just the nature of the beast, isn't it? You know, that's why we, Luton and Palace, don't have to play a Man City every week. You know, there's several different grades throughout that division, you know, and so that's the nature of the beast.
We nearly lost another one. Which would have been a spectacular goal from Eze. Who scores from the halfway line at Selhurst Pass? Well, David Beckham does. Mm-hmm. But it was really close, Darren.
It was, and, it was one of those ones when he hit it, you're like, oh, no. Just for a few seconds there, you're thinking, that's going to drop.
Yeah, because he punched it, sort of, it was a good trajectory, but Ollie Lee, innit?
Well,
that's the end of it.
Yeah, Ollie Lee is there. But actually, being in the stadium and watching that ball fly over your goalkeeper, you're just thinking, please no.
Yeah, because it just flicked like the top of the net. Yeah.
And then they had another chance where they hit the crossbar, and then we had a fantastic... Look, Kabore.
Kabore.
His last-ditch saves. Now, you know, we did sort of mention that he switched himself off, and he knew that against Villa, but that last-ditch tackle, Darren, at the end there.
It was sensational. He had a really good game. Mm. Really good game against Palace. And you're right, so, you know, sometimes maybe you need those things to happen to you to go, right, I need to up my game, or I need to go for the full, what is now a 100-minute game.
Yeah.
But the way he chucked himself in front of that.
No, it saved a goal. It was brilliant. And I'm delighted for him because it was such a shame against Villa because going forward, he was immense.
Yeah.
You know, it was just that one moment. And, you know, and again, I'm sure it is because he was so knackered and just that split second lack of awareness. But yeah, there was two or three really good sort of challenges and blocks that Kabore done. So I'm just delighted for him.
You know, this is, he's obviously still young. He's on loan. This is a lad that's got, how many games have got left? 10, 11 games to get himself a contract or something next season.
Yeah, because with respect, he's not going to get near the Man City side.
No. But do you know what? After the goal, and I know we'll come on to the goal in a minute, but when you look at the players celebrating, Kabore is right in there screaming.
Yeah.
You know, okay, he's on loan, but it means something to him, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. I mean, again, I think when we previously spoke about sort of Tom Lock here, you know, the way Kabore was acting, you know, he went off to the side, you know, on his own, he was praying. You can see he feels part of it. He's a good guy in that. So, yeah, just wish him well. But if you get rid of those silly mistakes that once or twice has happened, you've got a really good attacking fullback there.
Everyone talks about the togetherness at Luton Town. Now, I think that's apparent for everyone to see. Like, Hashi's just in the team. He was over there. And he's really found his feet already, do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sorry, there's a bit on telly where, who was it, when Mengi went down and they had to send Andros off to go and Hashi was behind the stand somewhere.
I
think he went off for a burger, I don't know. But Townsend had to go off and go and get him or something. But they came back laughing like we're laughing now. And you know, that, like you say, that togetherness and that camaraderie. But I have a feeling he'll probably start on Wednesday night.
He looks very composed, doesn't he? Yeah. He's not appeared phased or under pressure at all. And you think of everything that's new to him, you know, that's quite an achievement for him to be so level-headed. So,
I don't want to get carried away, but, he's potentially...
He's potentially a really decent player.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the glorious moment then. So, for us, you know, the other week when we were playing Manchester United at home, thought we'd get quite a lot of minutes and got next to none. The board goes up and we've got that 6 minutes to get a goal. And you're thinking, are we going to... I just turned to the guy next to me and went, we're going to get one more chance. And when you look back, what a goal. What the way that goal works, Steve. The way that moved through those substitutes, mate.
If we'd have known that that fucking drummer would have stopped when we scored, then we'd have scored way earlier than that. But Darren pointed it out before we sort of come on air. It was Berry that started it, substitute.
That tackle.
Yeah. Because it was a double tackle, wasn't it? So that was brilliant, you know, and he also wiped out Hughes.
Well, here's the point.
Formerly of Watford.
Is it fair? Because, again, the Crystal Palace fans would have been saying that was a foul.
Yeah, maybe. Unlucky. You know, how many times has it happened for and against, mainly against us? You know, unlucky. The referee was right there, didn't give it. But so Berry's done the double tackle. So substitute, passes it on to Woodrow. Substitute, passes it on to Townsend. And apparently you can hear someone saying, break his ankles.
Yes, if you look on one of the official videos, you can hear that of the goal from that angle. You hear someone break his ankle like you did last before.
And this is their ex-player.
Yeah. Because he broke his ankle there when he was playing for Everton, didn't he?
Right.
And I think that's the reason they called that. I mean,
nice touch that. Yeah.
There is no need for that at all.
No.
None at all. You know, if you don't like a player, just, you know, ignore it. It's a ridiculous thing to say.
But it's something that we've missed from Townsend for a few weeks, and that is a beautiful delivery. Whether he's just not been in that position and stuff like that, but, you know, he put it in. And the thing about the header... It was just helping it on its existing line, but obviously, you know, it took create a loop by him headering it. And there was quite a few people between him and the keeper. And I don't know if the keeper didn't see it in that, but it just seemed to take an absolute age. Just get in the net, will you? Just get in there. And it just seemed to take forever.
I think I was saying to you guys earlier that when it came over and he headed it, and Woodrow's even admitted it sort of come off the back of his head.
Mm.
But on telly, it still looked like it was going wide. Mm. And then you just see it rustle across the back of the net. And you go, it's gone in.
Yeah.
I still can't work out how it's slightly bent.
The best angle that I've seen of the header is from up the other end. It looks as if he's really sort of put one on it. And of course, ball goes in and then it goes over to the Luton fans that are just falling over each other in hysteria. But that is the best angle that I've seen where it looks like he's really given it some.
Yeah.
It's the first time that Cawley's scored in the Premier League since he scored at Crystal Palace in the Premier League for Fulham.
Yeah.
Which is nearly 10 years ago. It's just a fabulous end of a game. Obviously, the Terrace went mental, whistle went. I think you come away from that and thankful for the point, given retrospectively now we know all the other results. Actually, it was a pretty good weekend for us.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was. It was. And, you know, Everton had played earlier, so you kind of, you know, like you say, knowing results beforehand or results coming the next, you know, it's difficult, isn't it?
Both teams below us blew 2-goal leads as well, didn't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Again, you sort of, if you look at collective of fixtures, we were disappointed last week and pleased this week. But if you go, right, Aston Villa, then Palace, you'll get a point. You'd kind of go, okay.
Mm.
You know, so... For what we lost last week, we gained this week. You take it, don't you? It's all about the points as opposed to who it's against, apart from Saturday, of course.
Just a big up to Zach Nelson, getting on, making his debut. Well done to him in the Premier League. Overall, got to be really pleased with that.
I want to say a really good thing for Woodrow, though, because you know he's not had a lot of plaudits, but... It's clear that he's got a knack for being in the right place and the, at the right time. You know, he did with Everton, you know, it might have been just, you know, a prod home. But some people do have the knack of being in the right place and that. And, you know, watching him, he passed the ball out to Townsend and he attacked that space really well. You know, it wasn't just, I'm here. He really attacked that space well. So, you know, fair play to him. And it must be great that he scored such an important goal in the Premier League for us. You know, because people need that. Players need that. And I think he'll be chuffed a bits with that.
And do you know, whenever you see interviews with the players and they ask him who's either the best in training, who's the most skillful, whatever, loads of them say Woodrow.
Yeah.
A lot of them pick Woodrow out.
So is it a confidence thing? You know, I mean, I know he hasn't had a lot of opportunities, but when the managers and that see them every day in training, there's a reason why the team is picked a certain way. So, but if he is a great finisher, you know, and again, bearing in mind the injuries that we've got, let's hope he takes his opportunities.
Well, his next opportunity may be at Bournemouth on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you're going, you know, just remember this is a rearranged game, obviously, because of what happened to Tom. And there is going to be a round of applause in the 59th minute for all the medical staff who saved Tom Lockie's life. And, you know, that's just not... You just can't, that's just not enough, is it really? At the end of the day, it's just not enough.
No, it isn't, but it is a wonderful gesture because I don't recall that sort of happening before. So, you know, as far as I'm aware, it's unique and I think that is a lovely touch.
Just while we're talking about that, I need to just mention Mark Crowther's efforts. Again, he's doing the Premier League cycle, but he's doing a separate one. He's already been to Bournemouth. I think we mentioned this before. And he's cycling to Bournemouth for the British Heart Foundation. So if you can spare a couple of quid to send his way, it goes to a great cause and it's for our captain as well. If you can do that. And I'll get Jacob to put that up on socials and if you want to follow a link, you can go on and give him a sponsor.
I was speaking to Mark just briefly before the Villa game, just had a catch up with him and he said it's most definitely his last one this season. He said there is absolutely not going to be any more. So we're probably running out of time where we can sort of sponsor him and put a few quid his way for a massively deserving cause.
Yeah, but just this one-off one as well is a special one because of why he's doing it. And it's in respect of Tom's problem and the staff that helped at the day.
Yeah.
Do we start with the same team, Darren, that we started with Saturday? Do we start with Hashi? Do we start with the team that ended? It's a really big question, isn't it?
No, it is, and with Saturday in mind as well. I think Woodrow's going to be chomping at the bit. I think you could start a Berry. I think Hashi would start. I just think maybe a little bit of a mix-up for this one. I don't know whether any of the guys that are on the fringe might feature or get minutes at the end just to get him ready for Saturday. But I think, I know it's one game at a time, but it's the cliche, is it? But I don't believe they'll be thinking like that. Yes, we want to try and get something at Bournemouth, but they're going to have Saturday on their mind. You know, I personally think that I'd mix it up a little bit for Wednesday.
I just don't know if Edwards has got the opportunity to mix it up to any great degree.
No, not massively, but you know, Woodrow didn't start, like you're saying, go with the team that finished. You know, it's a little bit of a mix-up, a little bit of a change-up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
we can't take any chances, can we? Because although Bournemouth is, in inverted commas, winnable, because any game's winnable if you're on the right form, the bigger one, I mean, to get a point from Bournemouth would be fantastic. Yeah, to get three would be brilliant.
We're playing them at a much better time. You know, awful what happened to Locks, but Bournemouth were absolutely flying at the time, and I know it was 1-1.
Yeah, it was 1-1. Yeah,
but, you know, we still had half hours to go.
But we were doing well at that time as well. You know, because Elijah put us 1-0 up quite early on. Yeah, we were on a good 3 or 4 game run as well.
I just feel like we're playing at a better.
I think we're in a better position than we were in December. We take no chances with if someone's almost ready. I think we give him a rest and then put him on for a little bit. Because, you know, if Lokonga comes on or starts on Wednesday and gets injured again, you're back to square one.
Yeah, I think it is absolutely vital that we get Lokonga and, you know, Elijah back particularly, but you've got to get him back 100%. You know, it's okay them being maybe a few percent off full fitness, match fit, but they can't be holding any sort of niggles, or they're not quite over the injury. That's the only way we can get them back. But Christ, we need them.
One thing we didn't talk about with the game, and I'm hoping it's not too bad, but Barkley's nose.
Wow, he took a bit of a battering, didn't
full it? Steve Bruce on us there, didn't he?
Yeah.
But you're hoping that doesn't need an operation or something like that. I don't know how bad it is, or, you know, I know he carried on in the game, but...
Yeah, I mean, understandably, he was probably a little bit subdued after that because he was probably dazed. I mean, I'm a little bit surprised that there wasn't a concussion call on him during the game, but there wasn't. So I'm hoping that remains the case and it'll be available.
Well, if he's touch and go, or it's... Do you sit him out Wednesday keep him for Saturday?
No.
We've got...
Man up.
Can't say that anymore. Can't say that anymore.
Person up?
No, man up.
Oh, so, okay.
Man up's all right. I know everybody knows what it means. Bournemouth away, Forest at home. We've already talked about that. And just look out for our Forest preview special. That will be coming out hopefully towards the end of the week. Tottenham away, Arsenal away. We're thinking maybe you'd be very lucky to get anything out of those. Mm. And then Bournemouth at home. So out of the next five... If you could take, I'm going to say 9, thanks very much. And then you two can say whatever you want.
6. Forest at home, Bournemouth at home.
Right.
Darren?
Yeah, it can't be any less than 5. It can't be any less than 5.
Well, potentially it could be 0.
It could be, but...
No, 5 and 9.
It's now or never, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take 2 draws against Bournemouth and the win against Forest.
Keep
us okay.
I was about to say, is it fair to say that if we don't do what we need to do this next 5 games, we might as well be replanning for the Championship?
No, I don't think so. No.
No, because I'll run in after there.
Everton, Fulham, Brentford. Mm-hmm. They're all, well, with the exception of Fulham, Brentford and Everton are still in the trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we're saying we want to stay up on our own right, and if you stay above a Forest or pull Brentford into it, then you know you're heightening your chances of staying up. Mm. But let's be realistic as well. Forest are probably going to be deducted points.
This is why Forest game at home is so important.
Yeah, yeah. But the level's been set. It surely can't be any less than 6.
I would agree, but...
If you can keep within 6 of Forest, so if by the time we've done that Bournemouth home game and we're within 4 or 5 of Forest, you're going to be feeling quite happy, I think.
Yeah.
But Forest, we talk about our running. Forest running is a lot better looking than ours. They've got Sheffield United and Burnley in the last 3, I think. But sometimes, you know what, when teams are done... When teams are done, they start playing better, don't they?
Well, exactly. So. When the pressure's... Well, look at Chris Wilder. He said, you know, Burnley are on the... You know, they're going to come good at some point. And we're
going for Europe.
We're going for Europe.
Chris Wilder, you know, he could just do one, can't he? He's never had a good word to say about us, has he?
Do you know
I
what?
I don't know.
After us beating Watford when he was their manager, when we'd done them 2-0, they interviewed him and he was really complimentary about Luton. He's probably just digging at Watford, but he said there was only one team that wanted to win that. And he
always
was,
us.
That's right. And I thought, well, that's a fair assessment, but maybe he was just digging at Watford that he come across that way. But he seems a little bit unhinged, and there's no media about us going for Europe or anything like that. I think what's happening is everyone is seeing that we're one of the only teams out of that 3 that are really giving it a go.
Yeah, because all the vitriol that we had at the beginning of the season before we kicked a ball has been proven wrong.
Mm.
How Vincent Kompany is still in a job, I do not know.
No, no.
But, you know, we don't want to worry about those two. We've only got to finish above one team now.
Yeah.
And that's either Forest, Everton or Brentford, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And we can put ourselves on a really good footing going forward.
Yeah. So what we're saying, and we're agreeing, you know, these next 5, they're vital. But really, it's only the Forest at home and Bournemouth at home out of those that are vital, because they're key games that we would identify.
We haven't had the fortress at Kenilworth Road that we wanted.
No.
Because we haven't managed to get that glorious scalp that we wanted. Mm. It hasn't happened. It's got to happen at some point. Why can't it happen at Tottenham or Arsenal? Right. I'm greeted by silence, but you know what I'm trying to say?
No, no. Yeah. Do you know what? I think if the Arsenal game moving to a Wednesday night, look, if it was Arsenal of last season, you go, that's where they lose the league because they bottle it, don't they? Arsenal are a different beast this season. But I think Spurs on a Saturday away will be very, very difficult. They play a high line unless you put Ogbeni up there and say, just knock it over and go for it.
They do give you opportunities. And that's a really good point, Darren, you know, because they do play a very high line. They do really attack. And again, if we've got Lokonga and Barkley and we've got a really positive Ogbeni, you can see opportunities being created by us. So it's unlikely, but out of those two, Tottenham is the more likely of us getting something out of it.
Well, it'd be a nice couple of trips to London again. Just one bit of sad news. If you're as old as me, you'd have seen this guy play for Luton Town. Sadly, Jimmy Husband passed away at the age of 76 recently. I have some glorious memories of his playing for us, and I found it quite sad when you see a former player pass away. I just wanted to mention that. And condolences, obviously, to his family and anyone who knows him. But what a player he was for Luton Town. I remember him quite clearly playing.
I spoke to my dad about him at the weekend because I haven't seen him play. But, yeah, my dad said he was a good player.
I think... Thanks for coming up, boys, by the way. Darren, thanks for coming up. First time since you presented against Man City. Thanks for doing that as well. Thanks for watching on YouTube. We've come to a natural conclusion. Let's hope that we get these points at Bournemouth. And then we're speaking to you again pre and post Nottingham Forest with some really, really positive news. Thanks for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Please leave some comments afterwards. We'll see you again soon. And keep your fingers crossed, boys.
See you, guys.